Will there be any stars in my crown, when at evening the sun goeth down? When I wake with the blessed in those mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown?
I'm Jennifer Hambrick, midday host of Classical 101, WOSU Public Media in Columbus. Here is part two of my interview with Pulitzer Prize-winning composer Caroline Shaw. Your music is, to my ear, it's incredibly original. It's very much outside the box in that sense. And really by that, I mean that each of your works has a completely different sound from all the others, whereas often composers, I think, are encouraged to develop a sound or maybe a certain range of sounds that are distinctly theirs and perhaps more to the point, recognizably theirs, like fingerprints in a way.
Yeah.
Is there a Caroline Shaw fingerprint?
I think I'm the least qualified person to answer that. But I do wonder, because the things that I write for orchestra is completely different from Room Full of Teeth, at least in my ears, versus different from a string quartet. I like to think of using the materials that are there. Again, it kind of comes back to cooking. I'm not going to try and make spaghetti if I have only steak and a potato. I'm going to make steak and potatoes and then try and get deeply into what that recipe is. So, for instance, I have certain harmonic tendencies, I know, and I'm supposed to get away from them, but I don't really feel like it. I love sequences. I love kind of weaving some of these older sounds and the kind of harmonic signal of an older kind of music, and weaving that into something that is different, feels more modern.
What makes you think that you are supposed to get away from these certain harmonic tendencies that you say you have?
I think that's been what has traditionally been taught in composition school. In some schools, of course, it's to avoid harmony. I think that's changed a lot. I've never encountered anyone who says you can't write harmony. But there is some actually quite good advice, which is to try to get away from your habits and to grow and to find new things. But at least for right now, I may feel differently in my 5 years, but I really embrace habits. I think habits are interesting. I think that habits are kind of who we are, as long as they're not a bad habit. There's a reason why we do certain things, because we love them, and then you can, I think, spend a lifetime digging into that one thing that you love and trying to kind of get deeper at it.
As we've said earlier, you're a classically trained violinist from a tender age, so your formal schooling, if you will, is very much in that tradition. Mm. But your compositions are much more than extensions of the European classical tradition. Many of them embody, at least in abstract ways, influences from other sound worlds. And certainly some of your collaborations, perhaps most notably your work with Kanye West, have embodied this variety as well. What are some of the most significant influences on your thinking as a composer, and I guess how that translates into sort of the sound of your music?
I used to play, I played quite a bit of contemporary music. And at that point, I was exposed to a lot more and kind of absorbing different influences. I think I'm always going back to some of my favorite earlier composers, like Monteverdi and Mozart and Bach, and all these composers that I grew up with and loved, and their craft and their care with music and their inventiveness and just sort of a beautiful sense of melodic line that Mozart has, for one, is something I can always kind of dig into. But also, I think in terms of trying to, as a composer, finding new ways of combining sounds or presenting sounds or structuring things, I turn to visual art or theater. The way that playwrights will structure a plot or design a character, the way that a novelist will, again, sort of design an overall structure, I find really interesting. Yeah.
Earlier in this conversation, you maybe alluded to a particular point in time where you were kind of wondering what new music should be. If you would, talk a little bit about kind of how you view the new music landscape today, and as an extension of that, the future of art music.
Sure. I mean, it's hard to know what we're talking about when we say new music, of course. And for some people, that means 21st century classical music that was written by people who finished PhDs. And for others, it's music that may mean music for instruments. But for others, that means Kanye West and Chance the Rapper and Beyonce and pop and indie rock and hip hop artists. And it's all new music. And I think it's always dangerous to only be speaking about music that is in a certain tradition. And so, of course, there's a lot of talk about breaking down these different genres and what that means. I'm probably not the best person to talk to about that, because I try to avoid the question of genre. But as far as what new music should be, it can be anything. It should just be something that is sincere and meaningful to someone, if it's to one person or if it's to 5 million people. It's that's what it can be.
You try to avoid the question of genre precisely because of its potential limiting effects, or?
Yeah, I think, I don't understand genre as well as maybe someone who studies it from the outside. I'm kind of deeply in it.
What would you say is your most important musical work today, however you define important?
I mean, again, I'm not the person to answer that question, but the most well-known work that I've made is definitely Partita, Free Voices. Although that may not be true, it's probably the most well-known work that I have is my remix of Kanye West's Say You Will.
Sure.
I'm going to guess that is the piece that has been heard by the most people is anything that I've done with Kanye. But as far as an identifiable work that is mine, Partita is the one.
Sort of switching gears here a little bit. According to some statistics, women composers are extremely underrepresented on concert programs, or at least on programs of concerts given by some major American orchestras. Mm. What is your view of the landscape for women composers in the U.S. and maybe worldwide? Is the music of women composers generally that extremely underperformed?
Mm. Well, the data is quite clear. And of course, there are many reasons for that. I think for orchestras, a lot of them, the bulk of their repertoire is 19th century and before. So there aren't as many things to choose from, and they rarely program new work, if at all. I think the solution is just to be really diligent and about programming women composers, to really look at one's sort of season programming and say, how do I feel about this number? What does it say about our organization, and how can we change it? And that goes for orchestras, but also goes for young, you know, string quartets, more nimble ensembles. I think Room Full of Teeth, we're trying to change that, but our data in terms of gender is also not great, and we're working on that.
In your response, the implication is that it's the performing ensembles that have sort of all of the power, as it will, to kind of change or reflect on demographics among the composers who are represented on their programs. Mm. Any advice from your standpoint to other women composers on how they can kind of take the bull by the horns and get their work heard?
I think, well, always, of course, always write music that is meaningful and sincere and authentic and good, but also send the work in to places, whether it's to ensembles or to, I don't feel great about competitions, but I'm a direct product of having sent something in to something. It was really the first thing I'd ever submitted for any kind of contest. So, and it's important. I've been on the juries for some of these, for grants applications or prizes, and at least a few years ago, it was still stunning, the low percentage of women even in that pool. So, but I think mentoring younger female composers is really important. Mentoring all young composers is important. And for schools, for faculty, there must be women composition on the faculty. It's really hard as an undergrad to not see anyone who looks like you. And this is not just a gender problem, but a race problem as well. So it's diversity on faculty and universities, I think, is really important.
By way of a final question here, what composition projects are you working on currently?
There's some, you know, large ones that are in the next couple of years. There's a piano concerto for Jonathan Biss, who's a great pianist with several orchestras. A new string quartet. I could write string quartets all day. They're my favorite. And this one is a sort of continuation of a project with the Calidor Quartet. But then I have a couple of other things that I'm working on for myself. I find it really nice to balance commissioned work, which is great, and I'm very grateful to have it, but with something that is kind of just mine. So I won't reveal that at this point.
Okay, yeah. Sure. Absolutely, fair enough. I'm Jennifer Hambrick with WOSU Classical 101. I've been speaking with Pulitzer Prize-winning composer, violinist, and singer Caroline Shaw. Thank you again for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me.